Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, it is a cool, crisp morning, but it's clear. It's great to see the sunshine, isn't it? Yesterday on the way back from Warrensburg, I wish I would have had some sunglasses. You know that combination of bright sun and tired? And the reflection from the snow. It was quite an amazing trip. I'm glad I had the three boys to keep me going on the trip home. But no fighting there is brotherly love. You know, I've been a Christian who attends worship regularly all of my life. Even in college, whenever I, it was less, maybe you might say, than at other times in my life, I was still considered a regular. I would sit by one of my professors in the choir loft, and whether it was God or whether it was intentional on my part, or maybe it was just an accident, it seemed like I always put myself in the front of the classroom so I wouldn't skip, because the professor would always know when I was gone. And even on Sundays, it seemed like I sat next to a professor who would always know when I wasn't there. You know, I don't know, maybe that was a God thing, but anyway, it kept me going to worship, even in college, when most probably worship less than they do in the rest of their life. But there was always one thing that bothered me about Christians. And maybe at first I just assumed that it was the way it was. You know, maybe I just always grew up with it. I was used to it. Maybe I was blind to it at first. I don't know. After all, we are sinners in need of salvation. Amen. We're imperfect in our walk with God. And all of us make mistakes, and all of us need to work at this concept of koinonia. But it seems, no matter what church that I have ever been a part of, there were people who seemed to want to be the antithesis of today's message title. Some, it seems like actually it's intentional. I can't imagine why, but it seems like that is just the way it is. People who claim to be believers in Christ and yet say hateful things. I'm sure through the years you've known people like this. Some are by accident, and it seems like some continually comes out of people's mouths who attend worship all the time in different churches that you've attended in your life. People who start hateful rumors. And usually they start those rumors to those not involved so that they make sure there's plenty of damage before it gets back to the person it's about. Y'all, you've probably known folks like this. Just thinking back, can you think back of people who tend to be this way in your Christian walk? People that maybe you look and you go, boy, I don't want my church to be known for that. Well, today's message is about a concept in the New Testament that relates to a church's life. Now, church in the New Testament is literally called out ones. Called out ones. And it's actually described as ekklesia in, if you were to look at the Greek. But what Jesus' church, what Jesus' ekklesia is about is koinonia. Koinonia. And koinonia is a Greek word. It occurs 20 times in the Bible. And its primary meaning is fellowship, sharing in common, or communion. Fellowship, sharing in common, or communion. Now, don't get me wrong. When I say fellowship, it's not dinners downstairs, although you can experience koinonia, right, in our fellowships downstairs. That's one reason why I love them. The first occurrence of koinonia in the New Testament is Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And you may be familiar with this scripture. It goes like this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, you might recognize that scripture. Anybody know what God did to the church when they did these things? Anyone want to shout it out? And 1,000 were added to the church, right? So Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Christian fellowship is a key aspect of Christian life. Believers in Christ are to come together in love, in faith, and encouragement. And that in and of itself is the essence of koinonia. Philippians 2, 1 and 2 is another scripture. It declares, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Koinonia, it being in agreement with one another, being united in purpose and serving alongside each other. How are ways that you have served alongside other people in this church? Our koinonia with each other is based on our common koinonia with Jesus Christ. First John says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness. Now wait, I don't want that to get by you. Did you hear fellowship? There's where koinonia comes in. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now I want to read that again. I want you to hear this. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, if we say that we have koinonia with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have koinonia, fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. As many of you know, because many of you have gone through it, I teach a class once a month called Newcomers Class, and it's for folks who are interested in learning about becoming a Christian, are learning curious about United Methodism, maybe curious about this particular church and how First United Methodist Church fits into the United Methodist Church as a whole, what its purpose is and everything. And one of the things that I lift up, it's from a book that I found long ago and probably would be considered outdated today, but it's called The Small Group Book by Dale Galloway, and it lifts up some one another's of the New Testament. And a powerful example of what koinonia should look like can be found in these one another's of the Bible. Now listen to this. And this is the way the body of Christ, you and me, you and I, we are supposed to treat each other in this manner. Romans 12:10. Devote yourselves to one another. Devote yourselves to one another. Honor one another. 12:16, Romans 12:16, live in harmony with one another. Romans 15:7, accept one another. Galatians 5:13, serve one another in love. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another. Colossians 3:16, admonish one another. 1 Thessalonians, encourage one another. Hebrews 10:24, spur one another on toward love and good deeds. 1 Peter 4:9, offer hospitality. And then several list to love one another. So let's think about this. I'm just going to go through these. How do you devote yourselves to one another? How do you devote yourselves to one another? Or maybe I should back up a little bit. Are you devoting yourselves to one another? Same verse, honor one another. Are you honoring one another? Six verses on, Romans 12:16. Live in harmony with one another. Are we living in harmony with one another? You see, what one thing that koinonia is, it's not what is said when you're with that person as much as it's said when you're what you say when you're not with that person. How are you living in harmony with one another? One thing through the years that I've learned is how kids treat people is how their parents talk about those people. It's been so true through the years. If the parents are positive and lift up other people, the kids live that out when they meet the people. And when the parents aren't that way, guess what the kids do to those very people that you're not lifting up, that maybe you're putting down or complaining about? Kids are so honest. Praise God. They are so honest. They are exactly the way that we teach them to be. So living in harmony with one another, accepting one another, serve one another in love. You know, you can serve one another in hate or begrudgingly, right? But this takes it another step. In Galatians 5:13, it says, serve one another in what? Love. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Admonish one another, encourage one another. One thing I don't see in these lists is spread bad rumors about one another. I don't see that anywhere in here. Or be one way at someone's face and another way behind their back. I don't see that anywhere in here. One way I've been able to govern myself in these manners with koinonia is, if I were speaking to someone outside the church, would I want to be a part of my church? You see what I mean? Would I want to be a part of this church? That's the way I've governed what I say. Because I don't want to say anything that would make anyone not want to be a part of this congregation. Right? Does that make sense? So maybe that will help you as you walk away from this today, is to think, when you're talking to other people, you want to lift people up in your congregation. Or maybe the best thing you can do is keep silent about certain people in your congregation, but not trashing people in your congregation. And Jesus gets into that with the, you know, how do you pull the, what is it? Let me see, what did he say? Out of the other person's eye whenever you have the log in your own eye, right? Yeah. I was hoping it would be shouted out, but it wasn't. How do you get the splinter out of the other person's eye when you have a log in your own eye? Remember when Jesus said that? That's that concept that he was getting to. You need to love one another, lift one another up. You cannot overcome hate with hate. You cannot overcome darkness with darkness. The only way to overcome hate is through love. The only way to overcome darkness is through light. Honor one another. Be devoted to one another. Live in harmony with one another. Accept one another. Serve one another in love. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Admonish one another, encourage one another, spur one another on toward love and good deeds. How can we spur one another on towards love and good deeds? If we have an issue, if Diane has an issue with me, does she spur me on to good deeds? But I'm not even taking myself out of this. So let's say Diane has an issue with Anita here. Does it do Anita any good if Diane says five other people the issues that she has with Anita? Or does it spur Anita on to more good deeds by a Diane going directly to Anita and saying, hey, you know what? This was said, this wasn't said, this was done, this wasn't, whatever the situation. And they don't have an issue. I just love both of them. They know I love both of them, and I can pick on both of them. You know what I mean? It does more good to go to the person. Because what happens? If you go to another person, and they always have their good friend, don't they? And they go to those persons. And then those persons have their good friends, don't they? And so before the person that you might have an issue with, which is probably no big deal at all, quite honestly, it has been blown up way out of proportion, hasn't it? And it makes the second person, the person that you're talking to, feel down about themselves. Wonder if all those things that you've said to them in kindness through the years were real. Was that honest, or were you actually thinking some other way? It is so much better to go directly to that person. I am calling you to go directly to that person. I say shame on you if you don't. Honor one another. Live in harmony with one another. Accept one another. Serve one another in love. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Admonish one another. Encourage one another. Spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Offer hospitality and love one another. That is what true biblical koinonia should look like. So next time you hear someone in church, and I know no one in this church does, but any other church, spreading rumors, remember koinonia. Koinonia. And remember, just remember what it means. To love, to support, to spur each other on. Now, honestly, those of you who probably are thinking that I'm talking to the person sitting next to you right now, you're probably wrong. Right? So next time you hear someone in this church or any other church spreading rumors about someone, even if they're not a part of this congregation, stop it right there. Say, if you can't go to that person, then keep your mouth shut for the love of Christ and for the love of this church. Remember koinonia. Remember what koinonia means, and please stop the rumors in their path. Stop hateful words right where they are, right there in that conversation. Stop hateful words, because, folks, this is a place of koinonia. God created the church as a place of koinonia. This ecclesia, these people, you, who are called out. You are called to love one another, to support one another, to encourage one another. And today, I call you to do that. Step out in faith and begin loving your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Holy God, you are truly an amazing God, and we thank you. We are sinful people, Lord. All of us, each and every one of us, at some point in our past and at some point in our future, will say things that are hurtful. Many times what we say is totally unintentional, but unfortunately, Lord, sometimes we intend every word. We ask for your forgiveness. And today, as we take Holy Communion, I ask that you strengthen every individual in this place. I ask that you strengthen them enough that they ask for forgiveness. That maybe their heart pangs a little bit for past words said. That maybe, Lord, they will go to that person and say, you know what? I just want to apologize to you for something I said maybe even years ago. Give our church folks strength, God, to actually be the church, to be those called out people, God, that you have called out, and help us experience koinonia, communion, today on this altar as we take your bread, your body, the juice, Lord, your blood, and we eat and we drink, and we become more and more like you. We love you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.